Let's see, everybody. Let's start with Nefesh HaChaim Sha'ar Daled, and we are going to continue into towards the end of the parak of the Sha'ar into parak Lamed Beis. We're going to finish that up. So he's explaining how is it that a connection to Torah wipes out your Averis, and there's so it's a tshuva. So he said, because it's more elevated than everything else. And then he brings down a whole bunch of different chazals about that. The chazal he brings like this, he brings like a Gemara in Kedushin, Visamtam, we say in Shema, Visamtam oisam al oisayad al, Visamtam oisam al lovavacha. So, visamtam means that you push to place it. But the Gemara says, samtam. It's also the sam, it's also the medication, it's also the remedy, which is with the samach, not with the sin, but it's a play on the word. It's a remedy. Nimshala Torah kesam chayim. It's the elixir of life, it's the remedy to give life. Mashal Adam Shishikas Benoi Mak Gudoila. It's like somebody who punished a child. But he provided the healing for the makah. So he said, if you have this healer, don't worry about anything. But if you take it off, that's when you have trouble. So here also, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah to direct us in life that will help us out and give us direction. He brings in the Haggah here. The Haggahs were written by his son, Reb Chaim's son. So he brings the Haggah here that it says, we've actually mentioned something similar, but he takes it a little bit of a different direction. He says, Haluchos, Maise Elokim Hema, Vehamichtav, Michtav Elokim, Hu Charus al Haluchos. This is the pasuk describing the Luchos, and the Gemara and the Mishnah Perkei Avos learns from here. Charus al haluchos, al tikri charut, which means engraved, rather cherus, which means that we're free from the Yetzer Hara. And the Gemara says, Ein lecha ben chayrin, the only person who's free in this world is Ela Misha Isa Batar, unless you're learning Torah. That's how you become free. So he says that the Chazal actually saw that in this pasuk. We've asked the question before from the Chida. We mentioned the part from the Chida on this. That the Chida asks, normally the drash has to have something to do with the pshat. So if the pshat is that we were engraved on the luchot, so what does that have to do with the drash that you become free from Torah? Because charut means cherus, is freedom. What's the connection between the pshat and the drash? So the Chida says, very genius pshat, that basically the idea is more or less that the way we've said it before is that, you know, when you have a paper, so the ikar is the paper or the words. The paper is just holding the words. The main thing is the paper. But the paper blocks the words. If I'm holding the paper and reading it, you can't see it, right? Because the paper blocks the words from being seen. So the same thing is true by the person. What's the ikar? The neshama or the guf? The neshama, but the guf is holding the neshama. But the problem is that the guf blocks so the ability to see the neshama. But the Jewish people at Matan Torah got the ability that they could raise themselves over the goof. They could come over the goof. So when you would see the person, you wouldn't even see the goof, you would just see the neshama. So that's the same lesson as the charus al haluchos. The freedom from the Yetzer Hara came from the same place, just like in the words of the luchos, they were engraved through and through. So when you saw the luchos, the paper didn't block it. So the luchos were set up that the words were seen on both sides. The paper was really not there. So too, the Jewish people at Sinai came to the level that their guf did not block them at all. So Reb Chaim here brings a similar idea, but he makes a little play on the words. We mentioned last time from the Mesillas Yesharim that the Mesillas Yesharim says that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu was the manufacturer of the neshama, then he's the one that knows what's the remedy, and he's telling us the remedy is the Torah. So he says that is what this pasuk is a remez to. When it says v'haluchos ma'aseh Elokim hema, it's not referring to the luchos, to the tablets that were given to Moses, the stone tablets. It's talking about the luchais of the heart. The heart has two chambers, two sides, the right side, the left side. There's two chambers in the heart. That's why it says it's a pasuk in Mishlei. Katvem al luach libecha. The heart is like a luach. So it says, haluchais ma'aseh elokim hema. Who made the luchais? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who made your neshama? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haluchot ma'aseh elokim hema. They're from Elohim, they're from Hashem. The hamichtav and the Torah, the right, the letters, michtav elokim hu, is also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he's telling you that this is going to heal that. So therefore, it's charut al haluchot. The Torah is going to be the one that will make the impression on the heart. In order to, it's going to be charut on the luchot of the luach libecha, that the michtav elokim, the godly letters, are the one that are going to be able to make the impression on the godly luchos, which is the neshama. And that's why Chazal darshan from this, that you could become free, that in lecha ben chorin, that you could only become free from the Yetzara, is through Torah, because barasi Yetzara, barasi Torah tavlin, like the Masilas Sharma says. So the Gemara, the Pasuk is specifically learning it from this Pasuk to tell me, that to show this point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that these two things work together, that they both come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the way to perfect it. It's through the neshama. It's through the best way to protect the neshama and direct the neshama is through Torah learning. So that's the Haggah here. The footnote is what he says there. Very beautiful shot. And then he brings a few more chazal. So let's read some of them. Ki ein truf of a takana acheres ba'olam klal. There is no other remedy in the world. Lehi natzel me'reshes yitzro. Asher poris l'raglo of tomit. To escape from the trap of the yitzar, which is set constantly, the lochtoi, specifically to entrap him, ula hapilo yad sha'ol tachtis, and to lower him down to the deepest sha'ol, the deepest form of Gehenna, la miso misas oilam, to kill him an eternal death, elai de esek haTorah k'dosha, only through connection to Torah learning, asher oz nikra ish chai, then he's alive, because he's connected, shu davuk b'chelko b'chai olam, ki hu chayach, he's connected to his, to the true connection in Olam Haba through the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubizar, he brings a Zohar. Zakah chulkeyon de Yisrael. Praiseworthy is the portion of the Jewish people. De araisa olif lehu, because the Torah teaches them orchoye de kucha brichu, the ways of Hashem. Zakah chulkeyon, and is also praiseworthy, the portion of he who studies Torah, de choma de ispires me araisa fiu shayt achada. Because if not, only with Torah are you connected to Kihu Chayecha Ve'orech Yamecha. So this is the concept that he brings over here. Okay, now, he says this is why Torah has a different type of obligation than any other mitzvah. So he's starting now Perek Lamed Gimel. Every other mitzvah has a set time to do it. Right? Basically every mitzvah either has a very specific set time, or there's a situation which is mechayiv the mitzvah. You bought a house, put on a mezuzah, right? Etc. In the morning, 3 hours, shema, 4 hours, tefillah, lulav. So everything has a specific time. Torah is the only mitzvah. There's no specific time.
Except for Tisha B'Av.
What?
Except for Tisha B'Av.
All right. Actually, Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a whole piece on that. He says, if someone does not learn on Tisha B'Av, is that called Bittul Torah? Or because they could theoretically learn the topics that they're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Like, so what's the idea? And it's what you're raising an interesting point. You know, exactly what is the person's avot, you know. But the way the Vilna Gaon explains it,
you're basically saying the Torah is it's timeless. It's all the time.
Right.
It's not shayach or connected to anything.
It's not shayach connected to anything. There's no outside thing that needs to trigger off the obligation. right? You need to be wearing four corners. Oh, tzitzis. You need to buy a house, mezuzah. You need to, there's nothing that triggers off. If you're a thinking person, you could be learning. Done. That's it, right? You need to have an arm to put on tefillin. Yeah, there's nothing that triggers off the obligation or on. It's the most intrinsic thing that a person can have. So the only thing is, the only time that you could is if a person's in a tummy place, because that's what we learned last time. Because, theoretically in the tummy place, that's you can't bring down the kedusha from there into the tummy place. But aside from that, there is no limit or not limit to it.
Right. There's times where it's not appropriate though. Like we said, Tisha B'Av maybe, or like when you're an onen or something like this.
Right, or any other mitzvah. No, but there's also the nature of the obligation is like this. Really, a person is supposed to, the way the Vilna Gaon sets it up, the way the Vilna Gaon explains it, there's the Vilna Gaon in the Pirish and the Mishnah on Peah. Because the Mishnah on Peah says, Eilu devarim she'ein lehem shi'ur. Right? These are the things that don't have a shiur. Ha-pe'ah ve'abikurim v'arayon, pe'ah bikurim, u'gmilut chasadim v'talmud Torah. So what does it mean, Talmud Torah? Everything else I understand. So the Vilna Gaon says that there's no shiur, there's no minimum shiur, and there's no maximum shiur. It's both. Ein lehem shiur means that there's no minimum amount you have to do, there's no maximum amount. How do you know how much you're supposed to do? So he says, is that a person has to know that they're supposed to use all their time for learning, but they subtract from there the things which they need to do. And then after they know, after they've taken away all the time for the things that they need to do, the time that's left, that's their amount of learning. So therefore, it's ein lashir, because for one person, it's possible that you take away breakfast, lunch, supper. You take away the time for davening. You take away the time, and beyond that, they're pretty much free. So then for that person, he has a major obligation on his hands. He's got 10 hours a day. He's got to, for someone else, yeah, you have to put in parnasa, you have to put in kids, you have to put in, the other things people need you, the chasad, you have to do the ef shalasa sadei achem, all the things that you need to do because no one else is going to do them. And once you start putting into the mix everything else, so the guy's time is much more limited. So does that mean he did bittul Torah? No. He did, the person that once he put in all of his things into his equation, into his waking hours, and he only has 1 hour left in his day, right? He's fulfilling the mitzvah as completely as the guy who had 8 hours left in his day after he put away everything. And he also did his mitzvah. So they both did their mitzvah. He had a 1 hour mitzvah and 8 hour mitzvah. What do you mean? Ein lehem shiur. That's the Vilna Gaon explains. That's what it means. Ein lehem dvarim she'ein lehem shiur. Because the shiur is really different for every person. But the idea is that the person has to, but the nature of the mitzvah is such is that it's supposed to fill all your time. So the next chapter he's going to explain exactly why is it that way. Okay, that's paragraph Lamed Gimel. So hopefully we'll get to that, and then Lamed Dalet will wrap it up. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Thank you, everyone. Okay. Great.
Thank you.